And good morning. Welcome to Focus 580 on this Wednesday morning, September the 19th. I'm Jay Pierce sitting in for David Engine this hour. And boy, we got a couple of hours of talking about ways that you can keep in touch with what is happening primarily with your government. And one way is to watch C-SPAN. We'll be talking about that in a moment. And then in the second program, Jack Brighton will be talking with Bob McChesney, who is the host of Media Matters, which you hear Sunday afternoons at 1 here on WILL. And Bob has a new book, Communication Revolution, Critical Junctures, and the Future of Media. And that'll be in the 11 o'clock hour of the program. But this morning in this hour, we invite you to join the conversation with a gentleman by the name of Scott Peterson. And Scott is the marketing representative for C-SPAN, which is, of course, the Cable and Satellite Public Affairs Network. It began about 27 years ago, showing us Congress in action. First the House of Representatives, and then the Senate. It's grown now into, well, we'll ask Scott about this in particular, three channels, I believe. And also there is a radio service, and not only do you get to see the House and Senate raw and making the sausage, as we say, but other events that happen around Washington, press conferences, speeches, luncheons, and then this thing called book TV came along. And so that's one of the things in particular that we're going to talk about, because they have this book TV bus that goes around, and you can see it here outside the Illini Union bookstore tomorrow from 10 until noon. And Scott will tell us what's cool about that. Part of it is that they'll be interviewing some authors who are among the faculty here at University of Illinois about some of their books, and they use these interviews as part of their programming on C-SPAN. But right now, let us welcome to the telephone here Scott Peterson. Scott, welcome to Focus 580.
Thank you very much, Jay. It's an honor to be on the air with you.
Well, we're glad to have you with us talking about this very interesting subject. And I say interesting because C-SPAN doesn't have the reputation of being that interesting. It's kind of right up there on Saturday Night Live with public radio and being a couple of the most boring things on earth.
But look at our if it's so boring, then how do we have such audiences?
Well, there you go.
You know, I mean, obviously there's a market out there for this. I mean, I think there is a general, you know, trend in the media and just in technology in general to make everything go really fast, and yet I believe there's you know, it creates a backlash and it creates a market for both C-SPAN and you know, NPR, PBS, and a variety of some other sources for information that, you know, is more detailed, that goes slower, that's more of a conversation and not a soundbite. And I believe that this is why we've been able to stay on the air since you know, March of 1979. You know, we've been able to grow, you know, and really, I mean, we're very lucky, and we're very lucky to be able to do the sort of broadcast thing that we do. And it really comes down to, and I think, you know, very similar to your organization, it comes down to our business setup.
Right, and C-SPAN is a private nonprofit, but how does it get funded? Does it get government money, or what is it?
Not,
what is the funding?
Not one dime of government money comes to us. I mean, not at all. I mean, we're very different than the Corporation of Public Broadcasting in that way. It's the same with we don't ever ask for money from viewers. You know, we're lucky enough we don't have to do the pledge drives. We have one funder, and basically the C-SPAN was created as a philanthropy of the cable television industry. So basically we take about 5 cents per subscriber per month for both cable subscribers and satellite subscribers. So, you know, when the satellite industry came out in the early 90s, they also fund us, but we generally were created as a philanthropy of the cable industry, and we still have a local partnership with the cable affiliates around the area. So, such as when we come into Champaign tomorrow, we will be there with Insight Communications. Insight is their CEO sits on our board of directors, and so we have a certain sort of connection. And like I said, we're very lucky because in all the time we've been around and funded by the cable industry, and the cable industry is a political hot potato in terms of of an industry, and yet and especially we have a lot of different politicians on who attack the cable industry, want to change it, do other things, and yet in all this time the cable industry has never once said any editorial decision over us since we were founded, and so we're very, very lucky to have such a strategic partner that gives us a privilege and a luxury to be able to do the type of television, internet, and radio like we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, and I want to give the phone numbers out so that anyone who wants to join us with a question or comment can, 333-9455 locally. That's 333-9455. Or if it's long distance, toll free, 800-222-9455. 222-9455. Scott Peterson of C-SPAN is with us, and Scott, speaking of the editorial decisions, I guess it's pretty easy to see if you're doing gavel-to-gavel coverage of the House and the Senate, that's a no-brainer. But what about the other events that you do cover? How do you decide? Who decides what events will be covered? And I guess there has to be some kind of a consideration of some kind of balance so that you're not seen as particular, covering in particular any one party or any one agenda.
This is very vital to us. I mean, as a company, because we don't have to get rating. We don't have to go out there and we don't take ratings. And we don't strive to say, watch us, watch us, watch us. Our goal is our mission. And probably the one sort of big factor of this mission, well, the mission is I see it really as twofold. One, everything that we want to show is beginning to end, what we call gavel-to-gavel coverage, and we got that from our House and Senate coverage because, if they're in session from gavel in to gavel out, that's all we show. But that also applies to any time the president speaks. If the president speaks, 27 minutes at a press conference, we show 27 minutes. If an author speaks on Book TV, an hour and 22 minutes, well, an hour and 22 minutes. And then the other part of that mission is to really be completely nonpartisan. And this we take very serious in a couple of different forms. Editorially, addressing your question, every producer at C-SPAN, and it goes all the way up to our executive producers, and then it goes to, obviously, our executives, we look at the amount of time that we are showing on any particular issue, and then the political ideology of that issue. And, we compile all this programming and we analyze it constantly, looking to make sure that we are showing equal amount of time. So even though in 1 week it might seem that we are showing this one issue from this one side, well, I guarantee you in a reasonable time frame, you're going to see that other side presented in some form and another, soon, within a month. So ultimately, everything is going to equal out on our network. So they can look at quarterly reports and yearly reports as executives and say, okay, this is how it's coming down, and this is what we see. But yes, it is very vital, that editorial decision, and we try our best to stay out of the way and to just really let the information go. To the issues that people are talking about, obviously we're going to concentrate more sometimes on, Social Security more than farm subsidies, but, we definitely will show the farm subsidy debates. So every single issue will get its say. I mean, this is why we're lucky to have three television networks, over 20 websites, and two national radio stations now. We are just in the middle of, co-opting one of our radio stations, national radio stations, with XM called POTUS 08. Amongst all this information, we highly monitor what's coming across, because we know people are watching us. It's a very It's a very, I think, vital issue when it comes to the media today, when it comes down to perception of ideology. I think it's you see a lot of finger-pointing on either side, saying, well, that organization is liberal or that organization is conservative. And so we try our best to maintain our mission to be completely nonpartisan and editorial, from editorial decisions, but also to the way that we also shoot and the way that we show ourselves on the screen. There's a big reason why C-SPAN does not run the running scrolls that you'll see on, say, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News. We'll show information on the bottom of the screen here and there, but we generally want people's concentration to be on the focus of whoever's talking. The same with if you even look at the shots on C-SPAN. Generally, a lot of the shots are going to be the same sort of almost natural head and shoulder shot on the network. Well, you won't see us going close to a face, like a 60-minute style interview to try to get, you know, see that expression. We don't want to do that because then that's us manipulating this interview or this person. That's someone who can push a zoom on a camera saying, well, this is the most important thing, or watch the drama here. We want you to just sit and listen to this person, and you decide for yourself what you think about that with that subject matter. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to being nonpartisan, it goes beyond just editorial decisions of what we're showing, but how we show it, and then to the point where how we even conduct ourselves as a company. And then our entire existence, since, you know, March 19th, 1979, no one from C-SPAN has ever said their own name on air.
Hmm.
It's never about us.
Never really paid attention to that.
What we're showing.
Yeah.
So it happens to be with personality, mm-hmm. As well. I mean, I personally, and I was just telling your producers before we go on the air, mm-hmm. is sometimes when people will ask, as we travel around the country, you know, it's a great job because we always get to talk about politics. But it's always interesting for us working because we, you know, even though as much as all the employees at C-SPAN obviously enjoy politics and we're really into it, you know, we keep quiet on it. You'll never be able to guess what our own political beliefs are because mm-hmm. it's not important. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not important for you know, you to know what I personally believe because I'm representing C-SPAN and we're supposed to be completely agnostic. That's the term I think Brian Lamb has used in the past, is to be agnostic mm-hmm. of the process.
And you mentioned probably, we're going to take a phone call here in a second, and then we'll get back to Brian Lamb, but he is probably the most recognizable person associated with C-SPAN.
He's never said his own name.
I was going to ask, has he never said his name either? But everybody knows who he is when you say
I mean, and to the point where that, you know, he recognizes that, and he doesn't really want to be seen as C-SPAN. I mean, he knows. I mean, he founded C-SPAN. He created C-SPAN. The C-SPAN is definitely him. But at the same time, like I said, he did not. I mean, he's the one that really created our mission, and a big part is that, you know, he didn't want a personality to be a part of C-SPAN, and that included himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he knows that. I mean, he enjoys what he does. He knows that he gets he's probably the most notarized person we have at C-SPAN. But at the same time, it's, you know, he wants to make sure that, you know, this network is about who we're showing and not who we are.
Yeah. Let's go to line 4. A caller from Gibson City, just up the road here. Hi, you're on the air with Scott Peterson from C-SPAN. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Very mm-hmm. interesting show. I just wanted to commend your guest. I really enjoy C-SPAN. Actually, I enjoy your book notes quite a bit, actually more than I thought I ever would. And I wanted to get his opinion. It seems the way that commercial TV news is really, I think, terrible these days. I don't know what the statistic is, but I want to say something like 18 minutes out of a half an hour, and everything else is selling you product. And you know, Katie Couric's making $14 million a year, and everyone seems to be more concerned about what she's wearing and how she looks than what's being coming off the tube as far as the news goes. So I want to commend C-SPAN for the diligence and the time to the topic that we're getting away from with commercial TV. And I just wanted to know if your guest had an opinion or commentary as to where he sees commercial TV going, especially news, the cutbacks, the coverage. Does he think that that's eventually going to go away, or will it ever kind of turn itself around? And I'll go ahead and hang up and listen.
Thanks. All right. Thank you much for the call. Scott, do you ever think of those kinds of things?
Oh, thank you very much for the compliments. We really appreciate it, and thank you for watching the network. I've been traveling the country for 7 years with a function or form of our buses, which are traveling television studios, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that. And obviously we talk to a lot of people, and you know, we know that the people who really enjoy C-SPAN feel very much like that caller, that, you know, this is why they come to C-SPAN, or they even come to NPR, like as I mentioned earlier, to get those details. I believe that commercial television, I mean, it's a business. It's a pretty good business. It's changing. It's evolving. It'll be different forms. I think you can't deny the impact that the internet is having or is going to continue to have. I still think it's, you know, ultimately that sort of field of media is in its infancy. I always have to express to us that we're just lucky. We're lucky that we don't have to make money. We're very, very privileged to have a business environment to almost the point where we get a free ride, that we don't have to answer to advertisers constantly. I believe that honestly that if the media would dictate their product to the taste, they dictate their product to the taste of the public in order to maximize profits. They have a lot of people who study this and analyze this, and so when we complain about the news and the media and everything that we're getting, we have to really look at ourselves and ask us what are we really watching and what do we want? And ultimately the discussion, I mean, you're going to find it, and ultimately the thing is that there is something out there for everyone. That's the one great thing about the media world today, is that if you really want in-depth information, that, you know, there are sources on a variety of subject matters. And then if television and cable television itself doesn't serve that, you know, then you have the internet. So we're just lucky. I think everyone's lucky to have what we have. Now, when it comes to, you know, looking for the days of Edward Murrow or Walter Cronkite, I just think that the general nature of the media has always evolved that way. I think there are a lot of influences have changed that, and ultimately, you know, it's with so much actually media out there now that's becoming through the internet and free, then you're going to have to rely more on more advertising. You know, there's a lot of people's livelihoods. I think we have to realize the media is a lot of people's jobs and livelihoods. And so they have to be funded somehow. And in a lot of ways, it's an easier position to fund everything through advertising and the free market, and hence this is the product we're getting. But it doesn't mean that product won't change if the taste of the majority of viewers change.
Mm-hmm. Our telephone numbers are 333-9455 if you'd like to join this conversation, 333-9455 locally. Long distance, it's 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We do say our names here. I'm Jay Pierce, and I'm sitting in for David Inge, and Scott Peterson of C-SPAN is on the telephone with us, marketing representative with C-SPAN. And in particular, the timing of this interview is because the Book TV bus will be here tomorrow from 10 until noon at the Illini Union Bookstore on the U of I campus. And one of the things that that C-SPAN, I think, might agree, has generated quite a bit of excitement about the network for people who may not be political junkies who would sit through the gavel-to-gavel coverage or the news conferences, is this idea of Book TV. And if I'm not mistaken, was this not Brian Lambs, one of the founders of C-SPAN? Was this not his pet project?
The story goes is that, and Brian Lamb has said this, is that he started really reading later in life. I mean, he grew up in the media world, so he always read obviously a lot of newspapers, magazines. But when it came to reading books, it was until he was a little bit older. And then when he started reading the books, especially the nonfiction books, you know, he saw that sort of connection that right to the obviously the public affairs and the policy that we show being made. So in 1989, he started the show Book Notes, which was on C-SPAN. It was a one-hour interview with one author about one book. And I always thought it was interesting that the rule they put on that show was an author was only allowed to come on that show once in their lifetime. So even if they came out with a second book a couple years later, they weren't booked on that show. So this was Book Notes, and what came is throughout the 90s is Book Notes ended up becoming a very, very popular with our audience. I feel like the audience who watched all this policy being made during the week, they obviously became attracted to learning about these books and seeing that same connection between the books and the policy that Brian Lamb saw. What it led to is in 1999, because, you know, we have all these networks, and obviously during the weekdays they're chock full of politics, but on the weekends when the politicians, D.C. is not really working, we had a little bit free airtime, and so they decided to change C-SPAN 2 in 1999 to Book TV, to do 48 hours of books every weekend. And so and that's where we started just kind of always showing these authors, really. But it's interesting that, we coined the term Book TV when really all of our books are not, it's not all books. It's really books that are going to be nonfiction books about politics and history and policy. And also, it comes always down to this, the questions of asking us where have we been, history, or where are we going, policy. And that's generally Book TV, and it started, and because generally we just end up being the place in television that was showing the most authors, and people really enjoy reading. And so it's been interesting over the almost 8 years now to watch Book TV garner this rather big audience, an audience thirsty for, seeing what do these authors look like. And so even though our book selections are very limited to our mission of being a public affairs network, we've garnered this whole audience of just book reading, reading lovers. And so that created Book TV in 1999. And then Brian Lamb continued with Book Notes until 2005. And then in December 2005, we ended Book Notes, I think, after 805 episodes, which I mean, that meant 805 weeks Brian Lamb read a book. And he actually read every single book himself. He didn't use production assistants or anything to give notes for him. He would read every single book for every week for 805 weeks. And what's interesting is all those interviews are still on the internet. The one thing about C-SPAN, probably one of our different factions of the company that's the most fascinating but the most underutilized, is the internet. Our websites actually contain a lot of video and so much information, and one of those websites is booknotes.org, which is the website for that TV show, which is still up and running. So if anyone wants to read a transcript of any of these 805 interviews, or even watch a lot of the video, I believe we have a good amount of those Book Notes interviews still on video that you can watch right on the internet, available. And then we, of course, still re-air Book Notes programs on Book TV during the weekend. But Book TV has sort of encompassed to become its own sort of network within a network, showing authors from bookstores and libraries and book festivals, talking, doing book signings, explaining, why they wrote their book and where they come to it. And then also, we also do some in-studio shows. We have a show every week called Afterwards that basically shows one author interviewing another author. So you get an interesting dynamic. Sometimes the authors are going to be opposing viewpoints, which makes it a little bit more of almost a little bit of a debate show. And then other authors are going to be they've written about the same subject matter, so they can really get into a subject matter. Or otherwise, the authors have a sort of a unique personal connection to each other. So that's a show we do every week, usually with the top nonfiction book that just came out. And then obviously the first Sunday of each month we have a show, probably one of our more popular shows that we do on Book TV, is called In Depth, which we take an author who has obviously had a whole has a big collection of works. Christopher Hitchens, for example, was our guest this month, and then we had that guest for 3 hours taking calls and emails from our viewers, which is also another big aspect of the network, has always been the interactivity between us and our viewers. That's why, we do the Washington Journal every morning. And obviously, even built into our Book TV programs are this sort of call in or email in and ask questions of our audience. But once again, taking the onus of where the direction of the network goes from us to the public.
Mm-hmm. Scott Peterson is our guest, and this is Focus 580 on WILL AM 580 and online at will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jay Pierce in for David Inch. We're talking about C-SPAN today, the Cable and Satellite Public Affairs Network, 333-9455 if you'd like to join the conversation, or 800-222-9455. We'll talk in a moment about the Book TV Bus. which is going to be here tomorrow. And, you know, what the book TV Bus is all about, what it does, what it's going to do here. But first I wanted to ask you, Scott, going back to the editorial decisions, how do you decide which authors? Because obviously, while you're not perhaps injecting editorial opinions per se into the discussions themselves, you certainly could exert some editorial control based on which books, which authors you choose to be on. You talked a little about how you try to make the programming balanced on the coverage of different events that you do. What about the books you choose?
Great question, and it's obviously an issue for us. It's once again the same criteria for the issues. You know, based on ideology and issue, goes into the production of book TV. The producers are amazing with the amount of books and knowledge they know, and obviously they're monitoring the entire book world. Obviously, every publisher in the country knows who they are because book TV sells a lot of books. For the publisher, so you know they really are trying to get their authors on here, but you know we get to do 1,200 authors a year. It's a lot of authors, and a lot of authors, just not the New York Times bestselling authors. You know, we find authors that you know are writing. I mean, you have to remember that's 1,200 authors a year, and this is just really books about history and politics. You know, it's amazing how many books are out there written, and that's not, you know, like going into the other subject matter. So, you know, we definitely have to choose some, and the, you know, like I said, the producers make those same sort of basic C-SPAN editorial decisions, you know, looking at the issues and the ideology. Now, the one thing that's in general and the producers have admitted this, is that it's tougher with book TV than it is the general politics, because the book world, you know, there are just more books that are of the political bent. There are just more liberally written books than conservative books. So that's the one thing, is even though there are some very popular conservative books, you just have a bigger pool of books that are from the liberal side. So it does present a challenge for our producers to editorially make sure that we're representing both sides of the arguments.
And I see you have Ann Coulter's book in there, so.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it's,
and then on the other hand, Amy Goodman's is in there too.
It's you're obviously always going to see both sides of these issues, and so you know it's what's interesting about the editorial decision of both sides is that it definitely opens your mind. I think one of the things that when people come on the bus and I talk to them and I, you know, they're talking to me about politics, about where they're coming from, I'll often, one of my questions I like asking people is where are you getting your information from? And it's interesting to see how many times people will get their information from the sort of viewpoint where they want to hear it from. And how many other people will go outside that viewpoint? It's like asking someone who's very conservative, you know, have they ever seen a Michael Moore movie? Or asking someone who's very liberal is, do you ever sit and actually listen to Rush Limbaugh? And to see where, and then not just the, you know, the Michael Moore's and Rush Limbaugh's, but, you know, have you ever read the, you know, asking a conservative, have you ever read the New Republic or Atlantic Monthly? Or asking someone who's liberal is, have you ever read a Weekly Standard? You know, and so you see that we're always kind of encouraging, or we like to think that, you know, that that the getting the information from different sources is not going to change your opinion. It's only going to make your opinion stronger, because you know what someone who doesn't agree with you is saying about that same subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring a caller in from Urbana at 333-9455. Line one. Hi, you're on the air with Scott Peterson.
Hello. I was just wondering what your topics are that end up being the most popular with your viewers.
It's a great question. Thank you for the question. And it's really tough for us because we don't take ratings. You know, a lot of other media organizations, they know exactly from the minute to a certain degree of what people are like, you know, what people are wanting to hear. We know based on some emails and responses we get from different subject matters. I mean, obviously, if we have someone like Ann Coulter on, she's going to generate a lot more emails for us. I mean, but
at
the same time, we don't program to that need. We generally want to feel like we're serving our mission better and not and not just serving the public consumption. I always use the example that if we had two hearings going on at the same time, and one would be for agriculture or farm subsidies at the in the agricultural subcommittee hearing, and then another hearing going on at the same time could be Tom Hanks testifying for, you know, Tom Hanks does a lot of great work for, you know, the veterans or for, you know, World War II soldiers, and he could be testifying on behalf of some cause. Well, we know if we had Tom Hanks on the air, probably more people would stop to watch C-SPAN. But for us, we look at what's more important to policy, and then that's why we would air the agricultural subcommittee subsidy debate.
Right. That has more a more direct effect on more people's lives, too.
There you go. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you much for the call. Yeah. 333-9455, 800-222-9455 if you'd like to join the conversation about C-SPAN. Brian Lamb, who has probably been the most recognizable person associated with and was primarily the founder of C-SPAN, went to school at Purdue University, just down the road to our northeast a bit here and within our coverage area. Scott, I didn't know if you knew that or not.
I had no idea it's in your coverage area. It's definitely a Big Ten country, and it's the only other. It's one of the very. I guess it's one of the only other places we actually have an office besides Washington D.C. In West Lafayette, Indiana, mm-hmm. is the home of our archives.
Oh, okay.
So it is where it's where if you ever if anyone ever wants to order something that they see on C-SPAN, it's minimal cost for us for our production purposes, but they get sent a DVD from. West Lafayette, Indiana.
Wow, that's pretty cool. The Book TV bus will be on the U of I campus outside the Illini Union Bookstore tomorrow from 10 until noon, tomorrow being Thursday. And I want to talk a little about what the bus is about, how the idea got started to have this thing traveling the country, and then who will be involved with it tomorrow and what the members of the listening audience, and why they might want to stop by and visit it. How did the idea of this Book TV bus get started?
I'm Brian Lamb. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree. We've had this bus since 1993. And generally the bus was an idea that came, the story of the bus supposedly comes from Doug Brinkley, famous historian and author. And Doug Brinkley, when he was a professor at Hofstra, took a bunch of his students instead of teaching them history from a classroom or a lecture hall and a textbook, he decided to put them on a bus and drive around the country and teach them history that way. And he actually wrote a book about it. And Brian Lamb read this book, and it made sense that, for our, the needs of our network, that if we had a bus traveling the country, it would be great. One, it would be a neat way to get us out of Washington, D.C., to be able to grab video. That's why it's built as a television studio. The second thing is it's a billboard. I mean, we don't have a lot of big budget to, advertise and say, watch C-SPAN. Nor would we, I think, market ourselves that way. I don't know if it would work for C-SPAN just to market ourselves blindly like a lot of other networks do. So it was a way for us to go out and tell our story. Thirdly, it was also a way for us to work with our cable affiliates, those who have funded us and give us this luxury. So those three things was what created this bus. And we launched it was in 1993 as what we called a C-SPAN school bus. And so the bus itself would travel to schools and talk to students about politics and why politics is important and about C-SPAN and how they can utilize us for their education. And then also while I was out there, it would produce what we call little bus vignettes, and they were just little documentaries about different, historical little sites from around the country. And this was the bus became so popular that we built a second one in 96, an identical one. And then they traveled around the country for years until 2005. We took our original bus off the road and we renovated it, inside of it, and we relaunched it as a Book TV bus. And we did this because we realized that Book TV was gaining an audience, and we wanted to go out there and to travel to bookstores and libraries and universities and book festivals and to make sure that the people go where people are reading and make sure that if they didn't know about us, to let us know. And then, and now instead of, doing the little interviews or pieces on historical subjects, well, there's a lot of authors out there in the country. So as we travel around the country, we also have the capacity to interview authors. So that's the story of this bus. And then our other bus actually was relaunched this year. It was rewrapped as a Campaign 2008 bus. So it's out there now traveling the country focusing on our political coverage of next year. And interestingly enough, this book TV bus, which we launched in September 2005, is in its last several months. We're eventually heading back to Washington, D.C. For the National Book Festival. And then we're going to be spending October basically hitting a couple book festivals, one such as in Nashville and another one in Sarasota. And then we were going to finish the second weekend in November with the Miami Book Festival, which is the biggest book festival in the country. We are going to take the Book TV bus down there, and then it will be taken off the road and then remade into a Campaign 2008 bus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story of the bus. So when people come to the bus, what they're seeing is a bus that looks like nothing else they've ever seen before. And so there's a part of just no matter whether you're into politics or even watch C-SPAN, there's an attraction to the bus that's just, this is kind of funky what you did. We built it. It's a fully functional television studio on a bus. So there's something that's neat about that and showing how we actually utilize this vehicle. And then the other part of the bus is to definitely make sure, you know, people really get interested in what we do, especially if they've never seen Book TV before. We have clips and we can show them what's going on. And then if they like Book TV, it's always great for them to understand how we do what we do, the stories, showing them what we have upcoming. And then also one of the things that the biggest frustration that people have with C-SPAN is that you can never tell what's on when. We're really, because of the nature of how we work,
right.
And that our programming does not come in little convenient hour or half-hour packages, the producers put together each weekend like a puzzle. And so one of the things that we've done in the 2 years is that people who really like Book TV, they can sign up for an email alert. And so every week we'll send them an email saying, this is our lineup. And what's the fascinating thing is that in the 2 years we've done this, we've gotten 25,000 emails. So as we travel around the country, 25,000 people, because everyone hates getting spam and, you know, mm-hmm. those emails, but, you know, 25,000 people as we met across the country have, you know, trusted us with their email and have given us their email address and enjoy, you know, receiving these email alerts, which it shows a lot about, like, how much people care about our product and we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah. Well, let's take another call on line one from Savoy. Go ahead. You're on the air with Scott Peterson from C-SPAN.
Good morning. I have a greeting for you. If you don't understand it, you can ask me about it, but my greeting is dittos.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Now, I was listening, and so I want to do something before I get to my main point. I don't know whether I want to see the bookmobile turn into a campaign mobile. Some of us are getting tired of these campaigns already. But anyway, you'll have to make your best judgment. I wanted to ask a somewhat technical question. How expensive is it to run those crawlers at the bottom of a screen?
Hmm.
Or even those ones that don't move, they just sit there with the name and that sort of thing?
I don't know about expenses. It's a very fascinating question. I'm going to be interested to ask that myself when I get back, if there's actually an expense to that. I mean, the crawls of the screen, it's just a graphic. It's just a general piece of equipment that every television production, you know, place has them. Even high schools and middle schools, television studios have these just very simple little piece of equipment that can put the graphics under the screen.
Well, when you get back to D.C., do us a favor and call up PBS and tell them that when they have an hour-long Lincoln Center show, they should put up at the bottom what symphony it is or what concerto it is. I came in late yesterday, and I'm guessing, since the guy looked Chinese and he was playing a cello, that it was Yo-Yo Ma, but I never did find out because I couldn't stay there till the end. So that's my little request.
Jay, I think that request is for you. You have to go to the Corporation of Public Broadcasting with that request.
Oh, I thought since you were right there, maybe you could
just drive down the street in Washington. No, but you know what I'll do? I'll turn this over to our television program director, David Teal, and see if he can make a call someplace.
Well, that's
not
a
bad idea.
Thanks.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Thank you. I assume, by the way, the moving crawlers cost more than the station.
Well, they do. Yeah, we have them here. We use them primarily, we got the one for weather, and That's about all we do with it. But, you know, you, I think as Scott was saying, that a lot of the other networks are using them for scrolling news and stock market quotes and everything else, sports scores and, you know, this and that. So. All right. Thank you much for calling. All right. I think the phone line dropped off there. All right. Anyway, yeah, using the crawl to tell what's going on. We could, I'll pass that along. See how it works on these shows. You get the interaction. And you guys do a lot of call-in talk shows, Scott.
Very vital to our network.
That almost goes back to the beginning. What's the philosophy of opening up the phone lines for you?
Just to, you know, allow the people to ask the questions instead of having us. I mean, I think the idea is that we're in a democracy here. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, there's only a given group of people, the media, that should be able to ask the questions of your, you know, of your officials and of each other. And so that's why, you know, I think it was always vital for us as a public, you know, affairs network is to include the public. So that's why, you know, we've been doing the call-in shows for, you know, 26 years now. We've been having these, you know, the call-ins come into the network. And, you know, every morning, and it's a fascinating because it's, you know, you will, it amazes you sometimes to listen to the call-in shows. And in one light, you will hear people, you know, from around the country be able to say the most inquisitive sort of information or to be able to, you know, just make a point that, you know, that you never heard any talking head on television or any pundit on television ever make so eloquently. But on the other side, you will hear some just, you know, ignorance that, you know, almost shocks and scares you. But that's America. And, you know, and we don't, you know, besides, we make sure people are trying to call in on the right line. That's why we like having, I mean, this is why we put up several different lines, is also to hear the discussion. We never wanted to put up just one phone number for people to call in, because in that way, you know, we couldn't make sure we were getting a balance of calls. So that's why we have a Democrat line, an independent line, and a Republican line. And so sometimes we'll put up only two lines. For example, if we talk about, say, the war in Iraq, sometimes we'll just put up a line saying, do you support the war or do you oppose the war? Because we don't want to make the assumption that every Democrat, you know, opposes the war or every Republican supports the war. So, but what we're trying to do is with every conversation is have a discussion, see the different sides of that issue. And I give credit to a lot of the politicians, especially the politicians themselves that come on this program, come on the Journal or come on any of our programs, because they know that not every caller that's going to be calling in is going to agree with them. That they are, you know, they're going to be combated, and I give them a credit for having to coming on the show constantly and to, you know, having this discussion in a generally a civilized way.
Mm-hmm. Scott Peterson is marketing representative for C-SPAN, the cable satellite public affairs network. I think we all know it's got to have, you know, brand recognition. I don't know anybody that doesn't know C-SPAN, isn't aware of it.
We're lucky, and really, having that brand recognition, but you know, only being 200 and, you know, approximately 270 people. Mm-hmm. That's it. That you know, works at C-SPAN. It's very lucky. I mean, I think everyone employee there, the employees of C-SPAN, no one really leaves the company very much. You know, you have low turnover, and it's because we all realize what a special place it is, and we're very, very lucky that, you know, I think also that brand recognition is a credit to the cable industry, in two different ways. I mean, the fact is that so many people know us, but have no idea that actually the cable industry, created us. And so, in a way, that's you know, that shows you how the cable industry, they did this, but not for their own sort of political goal. That they did this to, you know, just basically, as we tag our network sometimes as a gift to America, as, you know, as a philanthropy. Because a lot of people have no idea. A lot of times people do think we're actually ran by the government. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you know, that, you know, we're lucky that we're just, the industry, you know, has created something that so many people value. And we hope, you know, that we're around for a while. I mean, but it's never a given. And Brian Lamb will be the first to remind you that it's never a given that, you know, C-SPAN will always be around. So that's why we work very hard, trying to improve our product and to listen to our audience and to be, you know, try to offer as much as we possibly can. And I think if you really look at our websites, you will see that we're doing incredible sort of resources on our websites. The one we launched just last week, we launched a website called cspanarchives.org, which is basically all our video is a lot of our, it's where you can go just search all of our video from all the different facets from Book TV to the journal. And then to the point where, I mean, even, you know, as yourself as a journalist or as a news organization, you can utilize that. You can hit our Congress tab and then just click on your senator or your congressman, and up will come just all the different sections where they spoke on the floor of the House or Senate. Hmm. And you can watch that online. And so there's these all these resources. Or you can go to campaignnetwork.org, which is the website we built for the 2008 race, and you can watch, you know, speeches from every single presidential candidate that we've covered out there, which have been, you know, every one of the major ones, and even some of the, you know, the third party candidates already that are speaking, you know, like Michael Bloomberg and even other ones you might not have heard of before. So that whole website is there as a resource. We just launched a presidential library series where every Friday evening we're traveling around to different libraries around the different presidential libraries around the country, and we're showing all this new archival footage from the library. So you get to, every Friday, you get to watch all this new video that has never been seen before on the presidents. And, you know, we started with Herbert Hoover a couple weeks ago, and then we just did Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and then now it's this Friday will be Harry Truman from Independence, Missouri. And they're wonderful, wonderful programs. And then also, once again, you can watch them on the Internet. You can podcast them down to your iPod. So this is all these different ways we're trying to, you know, better our services to our viewers, and we know we still have a long way to go, and we encourage anyone who enjoys our product to please email us, let us know what you'd like to see more of or less of, and you know, we're very accessible.
Let's go to a caller from Kankakee who's been waiting on line 4. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Thank you. Well, the more I listen, the more I have to say. A couple suggestions, a couple commendations. First suggestion, the podcast. If you can liberate those podcasts from the iTunes restriction, that would be great, because some of us do not like to use iTunes for our podcast, and it's not necessary.
I believe you can get these podcasts through iTunes does not actually advertise our podcasts that well. I mean, they list all these other television networks where they have podcasts from, but they at least currently are not listing us. And really, if you go to our website, cspan.org, and you hit the podcast tab on the left side, you'll see that you do this without iTunes.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Next suggestion. I really, really enjoy the broadcasts, both live presentations and rebroadcasts, of the forums that are held in the think tanks. I think those are just really valuable because I feel like that's where so many political ideas that end up being law end up. That's where they start out. So please keep those going. And if you have more broadcasts of this year's Yearly COES forums, I'd really like to see more of those too. A couple suggestions. Another suggestion: more Greta Waddell. Can't have too much Greta.
That's not a good thing. We're not supposed to have personalities.
I know that. And all of your presenters work so hard to maintain that objectivity, and so hats off to them for doing that. But she's just a delight in the morning. You know, not that Brian Lamb isn't easy on the eyes too, I guess, but. Not for me. So anyway, I really love C-SPAN, and it's just an incredible resource. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate the comments, and I definitely will. We'll take back those suggestions to the network.
All right. Let's go to line 1, and this is a caller from West Lafayette. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is just a feel-good call. We're C-SPAN junkies, and it's just such a pleasure to be able to see raw information and make your own decisions. And I will say that running a close second is Focus 580. It's fun to have seen some information and then hear a book on it interviewed intelligently. So keep up the good work, both C-SPAN and WILL.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you much for both those comments. Very good. From West Lafayette, the home of the C-SPAN archives. And Scott Peterson of C-SPAN has been our guest in this hour of Focus 580. We have just a couple of minutes left, Scott, before we need to wrap up. Tomorrow, the Book TV bus is going to be outside the Illini Union Bookstore. That's on South Wright Street in Champaign. It'll be there from 10 until noon. And what can people expect to see when they're there? And I understand that, well, there was a newspaper article in the News Gazette last Sunday that detailed who the authors are on campus that'll be interviewed. So you might refer to that either if you have the paper or you can look at it online. But I guess the question is why should people show up and take a look? What's exciting about it? What'll they see?
What they'll see is how we build a television studio on a bus, and then we will show them exactly how we utilize it, and they'll be quite fascinated by that. I mean, I think in itself it's a sort of recognition of, you know, how we're able to do so much with technology nowadays in general. But I also think that we can talk to them about books. We can show them some clips. I mean, and for students, I mean, this is why we really enjoy going to the universities, because I mean, for us, we look at this at universities not just as, you know, oh wow, this is an audience that can watch us. No, these are students that we really hope are utilizing us, and professors that, you know, for their education. We really want to make sure that they know about, not just about, you know, Book TV and what we do with our authors that we show, but, okay, how to go on booktv.org and search these authors, and or even take any of the books they're assigned to read, especially their politics or history classes, and go online and see if do we have footage of these authors. Can they utilize us in any way, you know, beyond the politics? And then look at some of our other websites that we've built for other, you know, different series. So there's a lot of sort of a demonstration of a whole value of resources that most students had no idea that we offered that can make, you know, their life and their studies a lot easier. So that's sort of what we expect. And then we have we're interviewing actually five authors tomorrow, which will, really quick, is Orville Vernon Burton, who wrote The Age of Lincoln, Dan Schiller, How to Think About Information, Bruce Michelson, Printer's Devil, Mark Twain and the American Publishing Revolution, Robert Dale Parker, The Sound the Stars Make Rushing Through the Sky, the writings of Jane Johnson Schoolcraft, and then Eric Arnison, I hope I got that name right, which is The Black Worker, Race, Labor, and Civil Rights Since Emancipation. So some great, you know, obviously professors and authors there that hopefully will add to our diversity of Book TV.
All right.
And then before we go, I would like to make a quick mention that if anyone out there listening has any middle school or high school students in their family or knows of any, I highly recommend going to our website, studentcam.org. We are currently just launched a competition. It's the fourth year. We upped the money this year. We're giving away $50,000 away to middle school and high school winners, and we're asking them to complete a 10-minute documentary about a political issue. And it's just a wonderful program, and that, you know, the last couple of years we've done it, we want to definitely get a lot more students involved this
All
year.
Right.
So.
Great. Scott, thank you much. We got to run.
Thank you.
Bookmobile tomorrow, 10 to noon outside the Illini Union. Scott Peterson of C-SPAN.